Take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to Deuteronomy chapter 6 this morning. I want to make a point as we conclude our study of the law of non-contradiction that is very important for us to understand. You see, a law does not have power to enforce itself. And I'll give you a simple illustration. There's a speed limit out here on this road, all right? And it's 45 miles an hour. How many of you believe that everybody follows that law? I have people blow by me so fast on that street. And it gets enforced every once in a while, depending on whether there's a police officer there. The sign that has 45 on it has no power to jump out of its ground and chase you down and say, "You see me? 45. All right? Cough up the dollars." Has no power to do that. The paper that is recorded at the Department of Transportation passed by the legislature of the state of Florida that says 45 shall be the speed limit of state roads within a city ordinance. All right? That is just words on paper until what happens? Someone with power and authority enforces that law. And you have to understand this about any law. Some laws that God has created have immediate consequences. Gravity being one of them. All right? You defy the law of gravity, you're going to pay for it immediately. But there are many other laws that are in existence that sometimes it doesn't seem like there's any enforcement, but time goes by and then the consequences begin to roll in. And this is one of them, the law of non-contradiction. It gets violated all the time. But sometimes it takes years of unfolding before the consequences of violating that law come in. Because God has made it so that in every sin that mankind can invent, inherent in that sin are the consequences. Inherent in that sin are the consequences that come. My dad's father started smoking. I think he was, 15 when he started to smoke. And he died of emphysema after stopping smoking at age 50. At age 76, he passed away from emphysema, smoking-related disease. When he first picked up a cigarette at age 15, he had no idea that at age 76, his life would be terminated from what was started with the cigarette. Sometimes consequences take time to unfold. And the same thing is true about the law of non-contradiction. Sometimes it takes time for the consequences to unfold. That when you violate it, it may seem like you can get away with it for a while. But with every law, there's a price to be paid. Sooner or later, a price will have to be paid. I want us to look very quickly. I'll tell you what, let's turn over to Proverbs 23:23 because I need to get moving here. Proverbs 23:23. I've got the verse up here on the screen, but I want you to keep it handy because I'm going to be referring to it quite often throughout our study this morning. Here is the writer, and I'm going to get into Deuteronomy 6 actually in the morning worship service. But in Proverbs 23:23, it says, "Buy the truth and do what? And don't sell it. And sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also," now in the original language, in the Hebrew, that word "also" does not appear. That was added by the translators to try to communicate the thought of the sentence. But it flows, "Buy the truth and sell not wisdom and instruction and understanding." Now these are all things wrapped up in truth. Can you have wisdom apart from truth? No, not God's kind of wisdom. God's wisdom is completely enveloped inside what we know as truth. Can you have instruction apart from truth? Not biblically. You may train someone to do something wrong, but the Bible's already said that that's what? That's wrong. All right? So instruction is also enveloped in truth. And then finally, understanding. Can I have true understanding without truth? No, I cannot. So all of these theme words here, wisdom, instruction, and understanding, are wrapped up in the word we call truth. And God has told us in His Word that we're to buy it. Now, I want us to think this morning, as we get into this, about the nature of buying truth in regard to this theme that we've been dealing with about the law of non-contradiction. Because today, the devil is selling all kinds of things that he's calling what? Truth. My truth. All right? You know, this is true. You can count on this, but it's a lie. It's false. So you have to be wise, Christian. You have to be wise. You have to have instruction and understanding if you're going to avoid buying something that you think is truth and it's not. Because the devil has a lot of things on sale right now. And he's trying to sell them to you, Christian. And if you're not wise, and you're not receiving the instruction of God's Word, and you're not honing your understanding of God's Word, you can be deceived. You can be deceived. Truth, wisdom, instruction, and understanding are not to be sold once held in possession. You're not to have a garage sale and put these out on a table and get rid of them. But that's what a lot of so-called Christians are doing today. We're watching it all across our United States, compromising the truth in churches, in schools, in Christian colleges, compromising the truth. In other words, they're putting it up for sale. Who's the highest bidder? Who's the highest bidder? Oh, the federal government. Federal government will give us dollars to train our kids. What do we have to do for that? Well, you have to do some compromising here. Oh, okay, we're willing to do that. Really? That's where we are today? They are to be kept and cherished, these items. Now, you know, heirlooms, people hang on to those and they keep them and they cherish them. Some of them put them in rings and stuff and lock boxes where they'll be protected, but you don't get to enjoy them there, do you? I went with Steve. He went down to get some items out of his safety deposit box. And he looked in there, and there were some precious things that belonged to his mom and dad, their rings and so forth like that. And he looked at them for just a few moments, and he closed the box up and put it back into the lockbox area. And we picked up the paperwork to go, and he said, yeah, I got to see mama's wedding ring and daddy's wedding ring that I keep locked up here because I don't have a safe at the house. And I said, what are you going to do with them, Steve, whenever pass on? He doesn't have any brothers or sisters, doesn't have any family. And he said, I guess it'll just go up at an estate sale. I don't know. And I said, you know, it might be better if you just kept them with you. At least you could see them from time to time or whatever. And he said, no, I'll keep them there. I don't want them to get lost, so forth like that. You know, we have heirlooms that we consider to be very precious and important. But if you don't have these in your life safety deposit box, truth, wisdom, understanding, as it says here in this thing, instruction, that's somebody else teaching you. All right? Instruction, that's God teaching us. You don't have that in your life's safety deposit box in your heart, you will not make it in this world. You will struggle. You will have all kinds of difficulty because you don't know the things that God said are important, that He said for you to buy and don't sell them. Now, every true Christian should understand that the truth costs something. What's the first word of verse 23? It says what? Buy the truth. Okay? Buy. That's where you have to exchange money for something, all right? You have to exchange something in order to get something. That's how it works at Walmart. You know, there are some people that think I walk in with my trench coat, nobody will notice that, and I'll stuff it full of goodies, and then they wonder why they get stopped at the door and it automatically locks, and all of a sudden all these security people show up and say, we have you on video taking these items. Would you open up your coat? And you'll open it up, and they've got a crock pot on this side, and they've got, you know, a steak and potatoes and whatever in this pocket over here. They thought they could go in and go out without buying it. You know, there are a lot of people that are spiritual shoplifters. They try to grab up God's truth without being redeemed. You can't buy God's truth unless you're redeemed by the giver of truth. He only sells to those who have a redeemed heart and can appreciate what you're buying. Do you have an appreciation for truth? It costs something. It costs something. Notice what else. If you don't think so, make it your own, value it, defend it, and stand for it, and see if it doesn't cost you. It costs us a great deal to have Grace Bible Church. It costs us a great deal to operate a baseball program that doesn't do games on Sundays. Boy, I take ridicule and stuff. I don't understand why you're not running tournaments on Sunday. I said, that's God's day. That's God's day. Do you realize that our culture today doesn't understand that? But we bought the truth, and we're not going to sell it. The truth is that Sunday is God's day. And they worship together on the first day of the week. That's the New Testament model. And bless God, we're here to worship Him. Not worship Him out there hitting baseballs, T-balls, playing tournaments. It costs something, though. It costs something. So people will go to other programs that offer that kind of stuff. But we're not going to do that. We've had to run people off of our campus. I remember several years ago, we had a steady stream of cars going by here, and so we sent some of our men out there, and they were having a baseball game. They had just called each other, let's go down there to GP and have a baseball. We had to run them all off. You talk about mad people? They were angry. But we scheduled this game. No, you didn't. Because we don't schedule on Sunday. You drove past three signs as you came in here. It says no games on Sunday. This is God's day. We're going to honor Him. Do you know how weird people think we are? Because we worship on the Lord's day and we just won't compromise. We don't schedule games or practices during Wednesday night prayer meeting. Boy, that irks people. Ask Ben Hobbs. He has to run them off. People want to have a little, well, we didn't get a practice because it rained last night. Oh, well, so the other teams didn't get one either. Oh, I didn't think about that. Yeah. If you're going to buy the truth, it's going to cost something. It will cost you hours of ease and pleasure and friends and money. Yes, the truth costs. Salvation is gloriously free, but the truth costs. That is, if you want it for yourself. Many who know the truth won't buy it. They won't pay what it costs to say, this is what I believe. This is my conviction. The truth isn't worth that much to them, and so they're not willing to pay. That's a sad predicament, and it's sadly what's filling our churches today with people that don't have convictions and people that aren't willing to buy the truth and sell it not. Proverbs 23:23, God's Word urges us, buy the truth, not buy it if you can get it at a bargain price. Okay? That's how some people think. Dollar General Christianity. There you go. Or if you don't like Dollar General, Dollar Tree. Or if you don't like Dollar Tree, Family Dollar. All right? We hit them all. I'm an equal opportunity offender. Now, I happen to like Brian and Caroline have a house right across the street from Family Dollar, up the road here. Now, there's going to be a lot of traffic, but I said, boy, is it convenient. you get hungry in the middle of the night, walk across the street. Well, they're not open at night. But anyway, you can go across. If you're out there and you're sweating, mowing the yard, you can go across the street and buy you a Gatorade. That's pretty neat. We kind of grew up that way. We had a junior food store at the end of our street. And we walked, we rode our bikes down there to get us one of those big Slurpees. I remember that as a kid, getting those. And we used to exchange our bottles. How many of you remember that day when we used to get Coke bottles? And we took them down to the junior food store, and you got 5 cents toward your next purchase because you turned the bottle in. It had this big rack. We'd go stick it in there and go over to the machine and put our money in. And I will remember as a kid, we used to have a drink machine up here that you open the door up, and you put your money in, and you pull the bottle out of the socket. And you'd pop the top off that bottle. It just tasted better in glass. I'll just put that out there. It just tasted better in glass. And we would, take our bottles in, exchange them, and then buy us another drink. You know, that's some of the old times. I know the kids today don't know anything about that. Say, well, we got disposable bottles that have lids on them. That's great. But we had glass bottles. And I remember going in there and exchanging. Took a bottle back in, get another one, and then you'd have another one for the next time. So when you get in there, you got a little bit of a discount. Buy the truth, not buy it at a bargain price. It is worth far more than anything you can give in exchange for it. Talking about the truth, instruction, understanding, wisdom. And when you have bought it, don't sell it. How many have bought the truth only to sell it out again? I've seen this so many times. Friends from college that no longer are following God. One of them that just really gets me deeply because we had so many theological discussions. We worked on the same crew together, and we would have theological discussions. We'd get off work at 1 or 2 in the morning, and we'd sit there in the back room there in our little office, and we'd just talk about different things. He grew up in a Christian school and church and had a godly pastor up in Michigan, and today, not serving the Lord. He and his wife have left Christianity, left it all behind. It wasn't real to him. I thought it was. I was deceived. I thought it was real with him, but no, it wasn't. It was just all memorized things. And the same thing can happen to you. You can memorize. Well, that's good. You ought to memorize. But some people memorize truth and it never comes into possession because they're not redeemed. I would ask for a show of hands, but I'm afraid we'd have too many of people that we've known through the years that memorized truth but never possessed it in their heart, and then they just took off away from God. How sad. Buy the truth and sell it not. They gave mental assent to it, but it formed no part in them. It was no longer a conviction. It was just talk. Buy the truth and sell it not. He does not say don't sell it unless you can get a very good price for it, does he? He says sell it not. Sell it not at any price. Buy it no matter what it costs. And when it's yours, do not sell it for any price or under any consideration. That's what the Hebrew language is saying there. It is because the truth is so little valued in this indifferent age that many of God's people have become so spiritually powerless. They hold opinions instead of convictions. Now listen to me now. This is what's happened to the church today. We hold opinions. But what happened to convictions? You see, a conviction is where the Word of God just roots right into the soul of your being. Connected by the Spirit of God. And I'm not going to let go of it for anything. An opinion is easily let go, right? You can have a lot of opinions. Well, I like the sweet potatoes down at such and such restaurant. And then you go down there and you have a bad one. Oh, I don't like their sweet potatoes anymore. I'm never going to order that again. Well, what you had was an opinion. You had an opinion about their sweet potatoes and you got a bad one, so you're not going to buy that again. I went on a French onion dip ban in the 8th grade. we had our Christmas party here at school. I was in eighth grade. We had a big party down there in the old science lab, which is now room 16. And I ate French onion dip like it was going out of style. I piled it on my plate, and I had chips galore, and I ate that. When I got home, I was sick as a dog. I was sick for a solid week right through Christmas. All right? I blamed it on the French onion dip. And for years, I would not touch it. I wouldn't have anything to do with it. We were at, it was at Stephen and Melissa's wedding. And they had French onion dip there, and they had a little vegetable bar. And I looked at that can, and it said French's. French's French onion dip. I looked at that can, I said, that looks familiar. That's what gave me that Christmas bug way back in 1978. Okay? But I'm going to try a little bit. So I scooped a little bit up, and I put it on my plate. And I took my carrot, and I dipped it down in there, and I put it in there, and I said, ooh, that's pretty good. And then immediately, I went back into binge mode. All right? There was just something about that. And I scooped up a thing, and I ate a little bit. I didn't get sick, though. All right? So I'm wondering if it was maybe a flu or something that I had. But I blamed the French onion dip, and for all those years, I'd missed out on it. Almost 15 years that I went without ever touching that stuff. I just the thought of it made me sick because I'd had such a rough time with it. Now, my opinion changed. It wasn't a conviction. All right? I didn't have a conviction against French onion dip. It was just an opinion because I changed. When will Christians get back to convictions? Can I say that again? When are Christians going to get back to convictions? Because we are so eroded today that all we have is a bunch of opinions. Well, you're entitled to your opinion. You're entitled to your opinion. Whatever happened to a common ground of conviction about truth? Let's move on. The purpose of propaganda. Do you know the difference between truth and propaganda? You know what the difference is? The purpose of propaganda is to change people's perception of reality so that despite compelling counter-evidence, people will not change their minds. That's propaganda. Bring them to a point where they, even with the evidence piled up against them, they say, I'm not changing my mind. Anybody see a problem with that? Right? Anybody see a problem with that? Yeah, that's a major problem. That's where we are in America today. We violate the law of non-contradiction all the time, and it doesn't bother us. It doesn't bother us. It doesn't bother us. It doesn't stir us. It doesn't cause us to rethink something, even though there's a mountain of evidence that's presented. I'm not changing. The goal is to make people impervious to facts, scientific proof, and what we call common sense. Now listen here. We live in the propaganda age. Just about everything that's taught in colleges and universities today is propaganda. Public education, propaganda. We have to understand that. You have to know that. The goal is to make people impervious to facts. You would think school would be about learning facts, right? We're going to watch a video this afternoon about the African-American patriots going all the way back to the Revolutionary War, and I dare say most of us couldn't name one. They're not included in the history books. They're not included. But there were many. Why is that? And Christian history books, they're included because I've taught them for years and are a Christian, but I'm talking about in public school. Why? They've got a narrative. We only talk about blacks in regard to the Civil Rights Act of 1964. That's where we start history. We don't go back. 1619 Project. Erase any kind of African-Americans from anything having to do with the founding of the United States of America. Do you know there were many that were involved? In some of the paintings that you're most familiar with, there are African-Americans there that fought alongside the whites. All right? We're going to talk about that. But we've been made impervious to facts scientific proof and common sense. And this whole pandemic has brought it out in a big way. We don't know what science is anymore. We've been lied to so many times and wrong facts given out. You know, if one mask is good, let's wear two. Well, then they prove that they're not working. Now they're saying, well, children need to wear a mask even though they've been, you know. And then they came out on Friday and changed that. It's up and down and all over the place. What are we supposed to do? What are they doing? They're making us impervious to facts. You just listen to whatever we say. A Christian, we're to buy the truth and sell it not. Sometimes facts and scientific proof can be subject to interpretation. There's no question about that. But often obvious arguments are set aside because people believe what they want to believe, even in the face of mounting contrary evidence. And there's where the problem lies. That's why it's so hard to evangelize these days. It's very difficult. They're already a believer because they were born a Christian in the South, or they don't want to talk to you, period. I know what I know. This is America. I can believe whatever I want to believe. Yeah, you're right. You can. You can go to hell, too. I've got the truth. I want to share it with you. It's hard with folks. Only the power of propaganda can account for movements that clamor for defunding the police, vilify law enforcement officers, all the while excusing the radical destruction of anarchists. Does that make any sense? Is there any thinking involved with that? No, none whatsoever. That's why they're still rioting up in Oregon and Washington State. Been watching the riots go on. Defund the police, defund the police. What do you get? Anarchy. And we're too dumb to figure it out. We can't figure that out. I don't understand. We gave the leftists what they wanted. They're never satisfied with what you give them because they're an anarchist. Get it? They have no law. They're a law unto themselves, and it changes every hour of the day, every how they feel. Buy the truth and sell it not. Let's be honest. We resort to propaganda when we attempt to sell an idea or seek to defend ourselves. We go into propaganda mode. Well, that wasn't me that did that. I was just working for so-and-so. He told me to do that, and that's what I did. Okay? What have you gone into? Propaganda mode. All right? When God condemned Adam for eating of the fruit, what did Adam do? Yes, Lord, I'm guilty. I did it. No, what did he do? He said, this woman that you gave me. Isn't that interesting? That's what he said. This woman that you gave me. Yeah. Blamed it on her. Blamed Eve. What he said was not exactly false because she did offer the apple to him, but he didn't say what? No. He used language in a futile attempt to change the reality of what happened. He was the first spin doctor. And it happened in a perfect environment. Wake up. Wake up. It happened in a perfect environment. He became a sinner, and what does he do? He blames somebody else. Propaganda. Here's another thought. Satan used propaganda to sell his view of God and his command not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He used language to deceive Eve by selling God as holding back something from her. He was selling something, and she bought it. Wonder how many lies we bought of Satan, thinking it was truth, and it wasn't. It was a lie. We have to be careful, Christians. I want you to listen to this statement by a man by the name of Edward Bernays. He wrote a book called Propaganda a number of years ago. And this was a quote. He wrote it in 2005. And on page 71, he writes, "We are governed by an unseen mechanism." Now, he's not a believer. But he says this, and it's truth. "We are governed by an unseen mechanism, our minds molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested, largely by people we have never heard of." Mr. O'Pager, Why do you like Burger King hamburgers? Right, right. The Junior Whoppers. Because they're flame broiled. Okay? They're not like what you get down at these other hamburger places. They're flame broiled. All right? So it's the difference between a fire hitting it and just a hot surface hitting it. All right? And do you realize you've been sold propaganda? Yeah. Our fries are better than the fries down the street. We have propaganda that's affected everything about our lives. What we put on, the shoes we buy. Some people have a certain brand of shoe. Okay? For the kids, Nike. All right? It doesn't matter that there's like 12 other manufacturers that produce just as good of a shoe, but it's got to be Nike because they bought the propaganda, right? Only Nike shoes. If you wear anything else, you're not cool. And because this athlete wears them, you got to wear them. What is that? Everybody say the word, please. Propaganda. It's propaganda. We're largely affected by people we have never met who sell things in the mode of propaganda, and we go out and buy them. All right? Which control the public mind, who harness old social forces and contrive new ways to bind and guide the world. How many of you remember the Cabbage Patch Dolls of the 1980s? You remember how the Cabbage Patch Dolls became an unbelievable phenomenon? Everybody was buying them. All right? Cabbage Patch Dolls. All right? Now, if you had one and you dearly loved your Cabbage Patch doll, God bless you. I didn't buy one. Thankfully, at that particular time, I was into picking peas and doing chores around the house. I didn't have a whole lot of time to buy Cabbage Patch dolls, all right? But that was a major thing. Wide belts with double holes. Anybody remember those? They didn't just have one little pitong to put there to hold your belt. I had two wide band watches. Boy, I remember those. I remember those wide band watches, you know, that covered up. For me, it covered up half my arm whenever I had that on. But that was the going thing, and that's what was being sold. And you better get one if you want to be cool in middle school. You got to have one of those things. Silk shirts in the 1970s. Silk. I mean, they were colorful, flowery, all that kind of stuff. And you would wear those, and oh, boy, they felt good, and they were nice and cool. What was that? Propaganda. Leisure suits is another one. Yeah. With the big, wide, bell-bottom pants on there that you got tangled up in your bicycle chain when you were trying to drive to school. We all fall into the propaganda trap. We all do. Oh, I've got to have that. Okay? I've got to have this watch. I've got to have this new thing that's come out. All right? I'm about 3 years behind on everything when it comes to technology and whatever. I'm a little bit behind everybody else. But, you know, I just figure, let's wait and see if it works. That's the way I think. If it doesn't work, I'm not going to buy it. And I'm certainly not going to pay the prices that they want to charge for those. I'm going to watch and see if it works. If it works good, I might be able to get one down the road. But we're all victims of propaganda. What is our culture doing? They're selling lies as a civil right. They're selling lies as a civil right. The left has successfully joined multiple causes with the civil rights legislation of 1964. Have you seen this? Same-sex marriage, LGBTQ, transgenderism, all has been attached to the Civil Rights Act of 1964 by redefining sex and equality. That's propaganda. It doesn't mean the same thing. And by the way, there's a lot of black leaders that were in that movement at that time that resent it. It had nothing to do with all these things. But they've come along and they've attached themselves to it and redefined the terms. Ryan T. Anderson, who Dr. Watt and I have met on several occasions up at the Heritage Foundation in Washington, D.C., wrote a book, When Harry Became Sally. All right? And this is what he wrote. Political and cultural elites have tried to shut down the discussion before it starts by imposing a politically correct orthodoxy on the nation, an ideology in which gender identity is both a subjective matter and a category meriting what? Civil rights protection. If you can make it a category and you can make it subjective, what is subjective? Subjective means that it's not objective. All right? It's a feeling, emotion-based type thing. And so if it's feeling-oriented or emotional, we can sell it. And people will buy it. So they sell it as a civil right. Here's another one. Sell it as love and compassion. Boy, this is one. Get them at the heart. Love and compassion. Sell progressive Christianity as love and you will attract many followers. Eric Hoffer said in 1955, way back long time ago, propaganda does not deceive people. It merely helps them to deceive themselves. I've had this quote for 35 years. I took a logic and rhetoric class, and this quote came out in that particular thing, and it's been so helpful to me. Propaganda does not deceive people. Propaganda merely helps them to deceive themselves. They deceive themselves. They start mulling it over and say, it's possible. Yeah, okay. I'll jump on the bandwagon. Rob Bell. This is not the Rob Bell that used to be associated with the Fundamental Baptist Independent, but Rob Bell, who was an emerging church leader back in the late 90s, early 2000s, wrote a book entitled Love Wins. You may have heard of that particular book. His book is the story of how he came to abandon historic Christianity in favor of what he alleges is a more loving, caring, tolerant, and accepting God. All right? He wrote, "When love wins, homosexuals will have the right to marry one another. When love wins, hell will be redefined as the terrible evil that comes from secrets hidden deep within our hearts." That's really hell, the secrets that are down in our hearts. That's really what hell is. It's not what the Bible says. We reject that. And then he went on to say, "When love wins, the gates of heaven are open to a much wider audience than just those who believe in Christ." Did you get that? Heaven, when love wins. No, that's love losing. That's love losing. Because you see, God's love is always tempered by His holiness. And that's what they despise. Don't talk to us about holiness and separation from the world. We don't want that. We want love. But what they get is not love. It's really hatred for God and hatred for His holiness and hatred for His righteousness. Rob Bell rose to the top. He's since fallen. Guess what got him? Immorality. Immorality. Church removed him. Immorality and using the funds of the church for personal purchases and buying houses and helicopters and all that kind of stuff. And it all blew up in his face. He was nothing but a charlatan. But he sold over 2 million books called Love Wins. People liked it. They bought it. They bought it. Our time is gone here. One more thing. This is our last page. Sell it as a noble cause. A noble cause. Once a cultural stream of propaganda is created, no matter how irrational, people will fear to speak against it. And people fear against it speaking out on social media platforms because what happens? The social platform leaders go along, click, boom, you're off. Your post is gone. Oh, man. They didn't like what you said. What happened to freedom of speech? It's been lost. In reality, in the United States of America, freedom of speech has been lost on the national platform. Because now who controls speech? and social media platforms, Facebook and Twitter, and all these other groups that are out there, they're the ones that are the arbiters of what speech is. Isn't it interesting that we're learning the cause of the virus was actually from the laboratory in Wuhan? And do you realize that Twitter and Facebook had banned anybody that said anything that said that for the last 6 months? And now all of a sudden it comes out that that's exactly what happened and everybody's quiet. Move on. Move on. Why? Because freedom of speech has been lost for the most part. In Oceania, if you read the book by George Orwell, 1984, in Oceania, that's the make-believe town, a totalitarian state is formed, and the slogan of the Ministry of Truth used the subtitle with sinister language, newspeak they call it, to brainwash the people. The slogan is this: war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. Can you see all three of those in America today? Dumbing down of education all across the board. Dumbed it down. Kids are not learning the three R's anymore. They're learning socially engineered philosophies. That's what they're pouring into them. War is peace. Freedom is slavery. We tell you what freedom is. You don't tell us. Hitler's concentration camps. I found this very interesting, and I found this. I watch a program that goes unearthing World War II. And it's a group of men who have high-tech instruments, and they go around to the battlefields. They go to the ocean. They go to, they did one on the USS Arizona. Wow. I mean, my eyes were open. They were down there, and they were showing the deck is littered with shoes, cups, plates. The tile from the kitchen was blown upward that the men used to eat at. And you see that laying on top of the deck there. And it was just, it's just an amazing program to me because I love history and love watching that. But this was, they went to a concentration camp that's still in existence. And there's a German phrase, all right? Arbeit macht frei. You know what it translates? Work sets you free. They were in a concentration camp where they were killing Jews. Work sets you free. What is that? It's called propaganda. Now, folks, I want to close with this. The law of non-contradiction is being thrown under the bus, and something else is being substituted. It's called propaganda. And as a Christian, you need to buy the truth and sell it not. Truth comes from this book, and you better saturate your heart and mind with it. You better spend time in it so you can know the error when it's presented. That's how you know, because you study the truth. Father in heaven, bless us now. As we go into our church service, we pray that you would open our hearts to your word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.